Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back. This is part two of Man Baggage. I'm Russell Kane, and what a panel I have today. I have Ariel Free and Ricky Haywood-Williams, and we're talking about maturity
and girls.
So let's crack on. But our actual behaviour as well. The facts are, you know, I'm married. I've got a kid, man. I should be sat in the library behind me with my feet up, but I'm not. I'm planning my beaver. I'm writing another novel. I'm planning a city. Like, my brain and creativity is definitely mid-20s. What's driving that? And it's not just me. It's across the board. People are like little bonsais in their pots, not just refusing. And yeah. I'm trying to look for a culprit here. Is it our lifespan? We're living a lot longer.
I think so.
I think it's because, I don't know, like, your journey, Ross, like your earlier journey, but I think for me and a lot of people that I know that are in the industry that we're in, like the entertainment industry, it's because they probably went to university. Like, my parents didn't go to university, so, you know, they had to start work earlier, which meant that they could afford to buy a house earlier, which meant that they could start a family earlier, get married and all that sort of thing. I think higher education maybe prolongs that and kind of, like, maybe puts it a bit further back to, you know, further back in the journey, as it were. I don't know what you think, Ariel.
I just think we now know that our options are there for a lot longer because, like you say, our lifespans are longer. And it is like what you were just saying about the tradition, but there was a tradition. You grew up, women didn't work, you got married, you shot out the babies, and that was your role in life. And that was all done very quickly. Whereas as things, and actually this is maybe where technology has helped us mature or be like, give us more options, is that we now know, well, actually, I don't have to do that straight away. I can choose to travel the world first, or I can choose to write that novel first. So I think technology in that sense has allowed us, because we know what our options are. Everything's so accessible. You know, there's places that we know about now that we didn't know before, because I can go on Google and search about an island off the Fijian coast, you know what I mean? So
I'm going there straight away. but yeah, so the lifespan one's interesting because it boils down to class. Actually, interestingly, for the United Kingdom, it's relevant to you, Ariel, it boils down to geography. I don't know if you're actually from Glasgow, but Glasgow's got one of the lowest life expectancies in Europe, let alone UK. It's low. It's like what you'd expect for some sub-Saharan African country without money. We're a wealthy country, so it's surprising. So I do wonder if it's a class argument about if you're in a poorer, less middle-class background, you're going to mature faster because you have to.
Yeah, you have to grow up quicker.
Is the does that count all the way from top to bottom? So does it? Do people live longer, like in the south of England or the UK, I should say, rather than up in Scotland? Do
we know that? But broadly speaking, but Glasgow, Scotland has got, you know, is a surprisingly bad social outcomes considering it's part of, you know, the rich. Currently, at time of recording, United Kingdom. Right, in average healthy life expectancy for a Glasgow man is 54.
Really? Wow. I wonder if it's the culture of diet, though, because the minute you said that, I thought heart disease, because I know that we have one of the biggest, like, heart disease problems in Scotland because of our diets. Like, I grew up with it. You had a square sausage and a big white bap and, like, lard and whatnot, you know, and that's what you ate.
It's like a great night out.
Well, at the end of night, you had a thing called a Scooby snack, and it was like an 8-piece bun that had like bacon and burgers and square sausage and tatty scone and whatnot. It's still there, I think, in Sucky Hall Street. But so I wonder if that's a culture from before, like diet, and that we went away with it. Because I remember the first time I saw someone jogging down the Clyde, and I was like, people don't jog in Glasgow. That's not part of it. That's not what we do. We
running for
job.
An ambulance quickly.
Yeah, I remember being really physically shot. So for me, I don't know if that's
but
having
if you
to
know,
work from a young age.
Ariel, so if you were living in Glasgow, I don't think you're from Glasgow. Where are you from? You're Edinburgh.
Sterling and then Glasgow. Yeah, so I moved through Glasgow when I was about 11.
If you were born in Glasgow, you're 57 and a half years is the average life expectancy for a woman. Wouldn't
that's
that
crazy,
make you
it?
Think, I'm going to get my mature shit done a little bit early compared to someone like me, born in Essex? Yeah, I come from a fucking shithole, but still, I come from a corner of the country where we might make our eight. My granddad's still alive. My granddad's still going on holiday. What the fuck?
That's amazing. Yeah.
It changes my mind because I sort of think, I know I'm married in that, but my granddad's alive. I can still go beef and go, my granddad. And you feel young.
But also with working class, you get smokers. Smoking's a huge thing, so I wonder if that
makes you look really grown up, kids. Let's not forget it. You look really mature with a cigarette.
But that is one good thing about technology, just to quickly say, is that kids are now more aware of the repercussions of alcohol and smoking and things like that. I know a lot of young kids, Gen Z, don't drink, don't touch alcohol, don't touch drugs like that, because they have
don't
that.
Drink really
loads of Gen Z don't drink
night out.
It's a waste of calories. It's a waste
when
of calories.
I'm doing my stand up and I can see Gen Z is in the audience with their fizzy water and they're like, we did drink, we don't do drugs. They're like, we had a party at mine which was just like writing in a protest sheet on a change.org, and my god, my wrist is so knackered from all the signatures last night. And I'm like, mate, when I was at uni I poured a Zambuca in my mate's arse and
and then lit it.
It was lit. That killed the germs, obviously. It's the truth, though. When I think back, it's like fucking Roman, my past. You know what I mean?
Well, it's also very expensive to drink now. When I could drink when I was younger, it was it was £2 for a bottle of MD 2020. Now it's about 15 quid, which is a lot of money for a team.
Yeah.
I just want to go back to this word, immaturity. I know we dropped it at the top, but I want to explore it a bit more. What's your understanding of this term, immature? So not childlike, not childish. If someone calls you immature, Ariel, what do they mean?
I mean, personally, I don't instantly think of someone who hasn't grown up. I think of someone who's silly. But I know that that's not what that word means. That's just when I'm like, if they're immature, I'm just like, they're just really silly.
Does it? I think it might mean that. Like a bit silly, doesn't take life serious enough.
But
there's
I love
no
people
positive
like that.
Hue to it.
Because whereas I think, so calling someone immature is a derogatory term, but calling someone silly isn't.
Yeah.
True.
If someone calls me immature, I die inside. It really affects me. And that's from like what I was talking about earlier from school days. And just when I was going through that pubescent stage and my connotations with someone calling me immature when you're supposed to be, getting older.
You use it as an insult, don't you?
It's an insult. Like, it's horrible. Like, horrible.
Because if you're silly, you don't mind someone calling you silly.
No, that's fine. Totally fine.
I think you're immature and silly, right?
I know. Funny gets the fanny. It's horrible, but it's researchers. There's nothing more satisfying at Ocean Beach Club than looking like a stick like me, having a full table. Married. So the other factor which Ariel kicked the show off with is women. There's no denying this, experience puberty earlier. It's just a fact. And of course Ricky then dropped the shocking fact that he's noticing differences in his daughter aged 9. Now puberty affects boys and girls, we know that, but it's obviously a more traumatic physical change, you could argue, for women. I would argue that, but the fact women experience it earlier. Not just what you experience, not just the boobs, the hips, the periods, but the fact that you have to deal with that shit years before we have to deal with lack of muscle development, how hairy we are, dick, balls, chain, all the stuff boys go through. But at
spontaneous
least
erections. Yeah, all of
it's
that.
Not real. We're talking 13, 14 before that stuff really fills your head on a daily basis.
I love the fact that Ariel was just like, I didn't know about spontaneous erections.
I didn't
erections.
Know boys
that,
and when they're teenagers
that go. That was a thing. Like,
oh,
if you
really?
Need to just go to the toilet.
It's
like,
still a thing, Ricky. That's why our heads are framed out. Some of Ariel's stories have been pretty spicy.
Oh, my God.
No lies, Todd. No lies, Todd.
I like the way you pretend it used to be a thing when you were younger. Oh, poor Ariel. Sadly, it remains a thing.
Oh, my God, does it? There you go. I've just learned something.
Yeah, but it can be a mechanical thing with a guy just for no reason at all. It's like I think Andrew Maxwell describes it as nature's screensaver. just a boner there for no reason.
Oh wow.
But the idea that the women go through that earlier, so they lose part of their childhood, physical innocence earlier. So just for a thought experiment, let's pretend men's puberty and women's puberty are equally traumatic. We know they're not, but come with me on this.
Yep.
Were they equally traumatic, it still would be a lot worse to have that shit earlier when you're 9 or 10.
Yeah, for sure.
Because things close down quicker.
It's everything that comes with it as well. We're talking about these hormones. I remember every girl in my school was in such a rush then to become an adult the minute we started getting periods or starting to get booze. It was like, who was going to be the first one to have sex? And we were talking about this when we were like 12 and 13. Like, no, that's insane.
That scares the shit out of me.
The minute your body goes through that change, you're suddenly like, I have to have sex now. I have to have sex. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to experiment. I have to do that. I have to drink. I have to smoke. I remember just, and I don't know if it's because I grew up in Glasgow, but we were in such a rush to grow up. Like, I moved to London when I was 17 because I was like, show me the big white lies. I'm going to be an adult now. I mean, moving to London when I was 17 is mad on my own. Now I'm like, I can't believe I did that.
And ironically, it had the opposite effect. It gave you the permission to embrace a childlike state for longer, ironically.
Very true.
There's also evidence, strong evidence, statistical evidence, that the houses without dads present produce more mature children more quickly. For obvious reasons, is if you don't have a dad around, you might be having to do some of the heavy lifting for your mum, either protecting your younger siblings. Yeah. But also girls in houses without a dad go into puberty earlier. So if there is no dad in the house, statistics, not everywhere, this, you're talking across millions and millions. You'd have a perfectly balanced house where a daughter starts a period at 10 and a single parent where their daughter starts a period at 16. But broadly speaking, the more single parent in the house, the earlier the period begins. So we have, that's pretty hard evidence.
This explains why I still haven't been able to grow a beard, because my parents are still happily married.
My dad was so overbearing, my beard fell out. He would shout, get out your fucking chin, and it would just fall. Shout it out. Isn't that a depressing statistic?
I can't believe that. My dad left when I was about 5, and I remember the phone call, because he moved to a different country, and I was kind of rebelling when I was a teenager. I remember like phoning him being like, I got my period today and there's nothing you can do about it. And just being like really ratty about the whole thing, like, hey, you're missing me, grow up, but like, you know, whatever. I find that a fascinating fact though, because I would say in my household, my brother grew up a bit quicker than me, because he's 11 months older than me.
Right.
So, because I think he felt like he had to take on the role of the man in the house.
Yeah.
Whereas I was a bit of a dick when I was a teenager. I was like, oh, I hate the world. I just
remember thinking when I was a kid, like, because my mum was really good at, she's one of those mums that can just do, most mums can, but she could just do anything. She could make curtains, or like, you know, if you needed an outfit for like your school play, she could make that. Cakes, she could do everything. My dad was a chippy, like carpenter, could build stuff, like would like build like a, you know, like a tree house in the garden or like a shed or whatever. He could literally like build loft conversions. So I just remember thinking, well, my mum, when I get older, my mum can like just sort my house out and my dad can just fix everything. Why do I have to learn how to, like, you know, like rewire a plug? What's the point?
Is that why you live in a treehouse to this day?
Correct, my friend.
To bring girls back, it's just up this leaf coloured ladder.
Well, mind your step.
You go up first. See? Just not maturing. That is. So in dating, now I don't want to piss you off here, Ariel. Remember, we're talking about broad stereotypes to shoot them down, discuss them. Just because they're true doesn't mean they're just. If we've learned anything about society in the last year, is there's lots of stereotypes and things that happen to lots of people. Doesn't mean they're just. Doesn't mean the world has to operate that way.
Yeah.
So put the trigger finger down, Giel. But why are women seem to be attracted to maturity more across the board? If in all surveys, you know, they're tall, dark, handsome, financially independent, yet men seem programmed to remain immature as long as possible. This is a fatal arms race in the wrong direction.
Because like you said, the funny gets the fanny. So then I don't know, do we associate funny with immaturity and silly? I'm like, I don't know. Like,
well, no, some girls are obviously attracted to that. But broadly speaking, women aren't attracted to men to be frank, like me, that can't get their shit together. You know, might be immature. The one that arses around. The one can actually have a conversation. What I noticed when I was single, before I did this, you can't muddle up being on the telly and on stage. It's not a realistic way to conduct what you would really be like in the dating marketplace. So I obviously didn't start doing this till I was nearly 30. So I had a long experience before I got my powers. And that pulled. No, and what I noticed was women are weird about a man that can have quite a deep conversation quite quickly, that can open up emotionally quite quickly. I know women say that's what they want, but that was not my experience. And it's still not my experience. If we go away, the lads on holiday, even though we're unmarried, like if we go to a country where no one, like America, for example, where no one knows me from Adam, it's equal playing field. So it's back to when we were kids. My mate Martin is the one that pulls. What does Martin do? Stands 6'3" at the bar, says nothing all night. It's job word. Yeah, I sell cars. I've got my life. Totally like cool, like the dad of the group, just the girls flock. Yeah. And I'm really, I'm the best friend with every girl there. But I mean, I'm like the neuter, you know, like a dog that's had its bits cut off. So what is it about maturity that attracts women?
I think when you're a single person, I was single for a long time. I'm not anymore, but I think when you've got the ability to be able to just hold a really good conversation and speak beyond, you know, just like the usual stuff that single guys speak about, like, you know, send me a pic or like, you know, come over at this time or whatever. When you can go beyond that, women really like it because the majority of guys are like that. If you're single, you're kind of like after just a good time.
You're playing right? It's a numbers game.
It's a numbers game, Russ.
No, not enough men are honest. You can be distasteful, but I wish men were more honest so that men and women could understand each other and then work on the things that men are fucking up. There's sometimes the dialogue's closed down because we're too scared to say what's really happening. But if we can't say what's really happening, how can we fix it and discuss it? So we're stuck being pigs in the private.
I think it changes with age, though, because when I was in my 20s, I loved a guy who didn't really know what they're talking about. And I was like, it doesn't matter, they're fit. And then you get like to your 30s and you're like, this guy's really fucking dumb and really hot. No, like you just don't want to go there. Whereas actually, it's funny you say about that conversation. Like, I think I've settled down now with my partner and the conversation I was having him compared to the other guys I was having when I was single was much more engaging and it is maybe a bit more mature. But then also, he's like the most silly person ever. So I don't know. I can't. It's this fine line of like what is immature and mature and what is just funny and or serious. But like they're obviously very different things. But I also think the environments you grow up in as well. Like some kids just have to grow up really quickly from their backgrounds, like what you've been given in life, basically. Yeah. And I don't know if that then makes you, like you say, older in life or like crave for that childhood that you didn't have. I don't know.
Interesting. That's some deep shit.
Wasn't it? God, sorry. Funny gets funny.
I don't want to run out of time. So let's move way, way beyond our age ranges, because I think what we can agree on is that all of us mature at least a little bit as time goes on. Even the most hopeless cases learn stuff. So if we're both doing like a ski jump of maturity, it's just that women have the benefit chemically and neurologically, at least. It doesn't mean we have to be that way on a societal level, but here we are, we're all maturing. Men will never quite catch women up, but we are maturing. Now, there is a lot of evidence that the man's ski jump then goes down again at a later date. Yeah, I'm afraid so. This is more bad news.
Oh, no.
So a man will be, men in their 50s, 60s and 70s then start to, I mean, we know it's the stereotype, they join the band, they get the inappropriate clothing, the inappropriate sports car. If you're looking for statistical evidence, we're not talking about the normal divorce rate where if a relationship's going to founder, normally happens within 6 or 7 years when the kid's quite young. The people that make it through that and stay together, those marriages tend to fuck up when the men are in their 50s and 60s. And it's normally the guys that drive it, where they've suddenly like, wow, I'm still young at heart. There's more playing to be had. And if you want one final horrible proof, the decade of a man's life where he is most likely to cheat on a long-term relationship, longer than 3 years, is in his 70s.
Shut up.
I fucking swear to you.
No way.
So it would seem a man's maturity is just a temporary state until eventually you're just a horny old childlike character in a nursing home, banging your Viagra knob on any door that will have it.
I reckon because, like, obviously, you know, the generation before us, like we were saying earlier, kind of like adulted much, much earlier and did all that stuff. Like my uncle, for example, he won't mind me saying this, but, you know, he had a family by the time he was 22, 23, had a house and whatnot. So when he got to like 40, 45, he did have that kind of like that stereotypical midlife crisis where he went out and he bought like a sports car. Then he started getting out of his newfound friends, and his marriage did break down. And I think it's just because, you know, he did all of this stuff before when he was probably, he should have been, you know, going to Ibiza or going to Vegas or whatever. He should have got all that out of his system beforehand and then settled down. I think maybe they were doing
that. That is
reverse.
A lovely spin on it, Ricky. That's a lovely spin that our generation won't have it because we've grown up so much more slowly.
Correct.
Have, yeah. There's no oats. There's no oats left in the barn to sow. That's what
you're, get it out of your barn, system.
I burnt the barn down and built a fucking club on top of it. So what about, we just got a few minutes left now, Ariel. So I'd just like to ask you about a little bit more about your family background. And do you think like your upbringing and your background really makes a difference to how fast you mature? Because the statistics would bear that out. If you're born into a posh middle class home with two loving parents, you might still be playing with dollies when you're 13.
I think it's actually much more individual than that. The path that I carved out for myself is very similar to my mum's. We both like ran to the big bright lights of London at a very young age, but then she got pregnant at 21, 22, whereas I was so against that. But like we both, like they've certainly in the earlier years, but she grew up with her parents still married, whereas my dad left really when we were really young. So I don't think I grew up because of him leaving home. I almost like rebelled. Does that make sense? But my brother had to grow up. Whereas right. now... And then there was a bit of a role reversal, whereas when I moved to London, I matured a bit more and he kind of went back to being silly and doing like Thailand and Ibiza and all that stuff. So I don't know if I can get on board with that fact, because I certainly don't think that I matured quicker from it.
What about you, Ricky? Would you say, I mean, for you, how many children have you got? One?
One, yeah.
So would you say that's the thing that sort of turned the clock suddenly on the maturity thing for you? Did it switch something on that wasn't there before? Because for me, if I'm being brutally honest, I was disappointed. I thought I was going to hold this baby. Everything was going to fall into place and everything with the world was going to change and never be the same again. Well, in fact, all that happened was this baby came along. I fell in love with the baby, but I remained completely the same. Yeah, nothing. I'm not working any harder now. I've not sensed a meaning that wasn't there before. So any people that don't have children, I would not listen to the hype, because I didn't get any of that shit. Everything's the same, except I've now, everything's the same, except I've now got this amazing sidekick.
Right, but it's the same.
Aww.
It was different for me, like, because when Lola was born, I just felt like I just needed to, she just became the most important thing to me. Like, it didn't matter. Obviously, my career was still important and working and all of that stuff. But if it was a toss up between going on a TV show or, you know, making sure that I could, you know, pick her up from nursery or whatever, I'd prefer to do that. And because I was like, it's so important to me to be there for her in her formative years, especially as like her being a
daughter. That's an interesting
verb,
because it's an interesting verb you've picked, because same situation. Maybe it's an age thing, because I was older. But if I got this fucking O2 gig, I would prefer to be picking up Minna from nursery. Prefer. But where would I be?
Yeah, I'd be on stage. Yeah, that's true.
So you said prefer, but what did you mean? Did you mean prefer as in you did, or prefer as in I preferred it and then I went to work?
I mean, I still, don't get me wrong, I still, you have to work, you've got to put food on the table, you've got like someone to provide for. So, you know, there were times when, you know, you have to make allowances and whatnot, but there were times when I would go, do you know what, like, I'll put that to one side, there'll be another show. It's not as important as me being there and my relationship with my daughter. So I know it sounds sad, but that's just nice.
Can I ask a question to you both? That when you both had a child, did you instantly feel like you were a grown up?
No, that made me feel even more.
Really?
That made me feel like I was like, how am I in charge of another human being? I know you hear people say that a lot, proper cliche, but it's true. I was like, how am I responsible for this life? So that scared the shit out of me. So I was like, I've got to be there.
I would back that up. I realized how little I knew and how much growing up I had to do, which I then refused to do. Anyway, we're completely out of time. I've got to go because I'm going to record my farts on QuickTime and play them back later. I find it really funny. You can put sound effects on them and make them sound like Voldemort. So that's what I'm going to do with my evening. Thank you very much. What an amazing panel. I don't think we grew up as a team, but we learned a lot about maturity. So thank you, Ariel Free and Ricky Hayward-Williams. I've been Russell Kane. This has been Man Baggage. Please subscribe. Please like. If you've rocked up here because you're fans of today's guests, then why not hang around, subscribe, and listen to past episodes or even listen to episodes coming up. Thank you very much. I'm going to pop my Man Baggage into its home. Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.